We come together as a church, as a people who are also broken. We gather on Good Friday. We dare to call this day good, even though what we acknowledge, what we celebrate, is a Savior who is broken, a Savior who is pierced, a Savior who longed to express His love for us, a Savior who wanted us to be known by Him. Sometimes we wonder why it's so hard to believe. We wonder why the members of our families don't seem to share the same faith that we do. We question, why are things the way that they are? Why do we gather in worship around this broken Savior, the one who is pierced for our faults, crushed for our sins? And yet, that doesn't seem to bother our God. Our God revealed Himself first to a broken people. When you look through the pages of the Scriptures, you don't see great heroes who had their lives together, who worked it all out, who solved all the mysteries of life. You see people who struggle. The very nation of Israel received their name when it was Jacob, who was an awful human being, who was a deceiver, who deceived his own brother, who deceived his own father, who tried to deceive his potential father-in-law. All of these things, and it was only when he finally came to his senses and finally began to make his journey back to his homeland, that he's there in this certain place, that he struggles with God. And in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that battle, that fight to the death almost, Jacob asks for a blessing. And the one who is struggling with, the one who is later revealed to be God Himself, says, "What is your name?" And it's only when Jacob, who tried to be Esau, who tried to be something else, it's only in that moment that he says, "I am Jacob." He's finally able to understand who he truly is. That yes, he is a deceiver. He is the one who doesn't get it right. And it's in that moment, in the midst of that fight, that he said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel, for you have fought and struggled with God." We need to continue in that fight. We need to continue in our struggles. There's no question that is wrong to ask. There's no difficulty that we have that God does not delight in us seeking an answer to those problems. We need to continue to struggle. When I was a kid, it seemed to be that faith was a really easy thing, that there were these clear black and white answers to every problem that I ever dreamed to ask. But the reality is, as I've grown older, that the world is increasingly grey. There's so much more complexity in our world. The world around which we gather, the church in which we attempt to offer our worship and to give the sacrifice of our love, is a place that is marked by confusion. That's marked by that desire and that need to continue asking questions. To have that love that dares to question. To have that love that continues to let God do His powerful work in us. To let God continue to call us into freedom. Don't ever be content with claiming to know the truth. The truth is always so much richer, so much deeper, so much fuller, so much more beautiful, so much more engaging than any black and white answer will ever be able to offer. In the midst of this, we do indeed look at the one who was crucified. We look upon the face of Jesus as he's there on the cross, you know, as he offers and opens his arms to us, to embrace us, to call us, to invite us into life. But that's inviting us into the struggle, inviting us into the brokenness, inviting us into the wound that wounded him. We gather as a people who continue to open ourselves to this mystery. We can be content not to know all the answers. We can be content not to have it all worked out and all sorted. And above all, on Good Friday, when we look at the one who had no comeliness, at the one who seemed so disfigured that people were appalled by him, that we can indeed know that in Jesus we have this place, we have this space, we have this ability to be the people that are honored by God. Today, we next gather in prayer. We pray the prayers for the whole church, the universal prayers that are offered as part of this liturgy. And we venerate the cross. This year there will be no touching of the cross, and so it's just an attempt to honor and to venerate the gift of God's love in the midst of that confusion, in the midst of that sorrow and suffering. And the fourth part of the liturgy is the gathering at the altar. Now, whenever I celebrate the Mass, or whenever any priest celebrates the Mass, I'm obligated to receive communion. It's part of the essential quality of the Mass that the priest shares in the host. But on this day, on Good Friday, we don't gather for a Mass. There is no remembrance of the Lord's sorrowing and suffering in that way. And so on this day, Pope Benedict, about 15 years ago, announced that he wouldn't be receiving communion during this Good Friday liturgy, because he realized that the church was broken. There were people all around the world who weren't part of our body, who weren't part of this communion. Protestants, people that were outside of our faith who were excluded from the communion, people who were in irregular relationships, people who couldn't believe, people who had been abused by priests and ministers and others representing the church that should have been protecting them, that should have been there laying our lives down for them. People that couldn't believe because we in the church had made it impossible for them to believe. And so on behalf of all of those, Pope Benedict said, I will not receive communion today. And so since then, I also haven't received communion on Good Friday as a sign of solidarity with our brokenness, as a sign of solidarity with all those who want to believe, who want to be loved, who want to receive the gift of God's love. But we place so many burdens, so many barriers, or they just within their lives, often through no fault of their own, aren't able to share at the table. So I will still offer the Eucharist to those who wish to receive. I certainly encourage you and invite you, if you are willing, for this one day, to join that sorrowing and suffering church that can't receive communion, that can't be part of our fellowship, and to join me to say, today I will fast even from this precious gift. I will fast from this chance and this opportunity to receive something so precious and so wonderful, because I know the need of God to heal. I know that our church continues to need this healing. I can't solve it. I can't find it solutions and answers to every problem. But I can at least do this. I can at least acknowledge that in this brokenness and in this woundedness, there is a God who continues to love us, continues to call us into freedom. until that day when the church is able to welcome all people, until that day when we are worthy to welcome all people. We continue to be that broken people. We continue to be that broken church. If it's been a long time since you've been in this church, if it's a long time since you've been part of this community, we certainly invite you to come forward to receive communion. But if you were here last night, if you're going to be here tomorrow, let this be a chance just to fast and to pray with longing for that day when the church can finally be whole and healed and united.